All right, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
The opportunity here that I have each and every month to engage with all of you as members of the NCBA board. As you all know, I try to take a 3 to 5 minute period of time of your life just to give you via a video update an opportunity to touch on what's happening with respect to our people, meaning our staff, the most valuable asset to this organization in so many ways. We talk about the financial health of NCBA, and then we talk about some of the major organizational outcomes. However, when we look at the opportunity to come together twice a year, eyeball to eyeball, I tend to want to take a little bit different approach in bringing you the update in terms of a management report. So I felt that it was only fitting to reflect back on. Can I get Camille Yu to pull up that slide, please? I felt it was only fitting that if we reflect for a second back to where we left each other in Nashville, Tennessee, just 6 months ago. A tremendous amount of change has come at our industry. We obviously left Nashville with a lot of hope, with a lot of optimism. As I heard from a lot of you in this room, comments about the best convention they have ever attended and their entire membership and engagement with this organization and this industry. As we moved into the spring, we saw some of the highest prices ever paid for cattle in the history of this industry. And so as we think about coming together here today, I felt that the theme of what I wanted to share with you has everything to do with leading forward. And to better expound on that theme, I want to zero into these three areas. I want to talk very openly about the challenges that we currently face today. I want to talk very openly about the changes that you folks are focused on right now here this morning with the decisions that you're making. And then last but not least, the courage as we leave here to lead forward. So first, when we think about the normal updates, I can assure you that your staff is as committed as ever to make sure that they carry out the direction that you give us here this morning and this week. That our financial health of NCBA is about as strong as it's ever been, and especially when we look back to the last 3 years. But there's some major outcomes and there's some major challenges that we're going to take one by one by one. So let's first start about our discussion. Our discussion here this morning when we think about the challenges that we have faced since we left Nashville. The challenges that started with weather and the changes that came about with weather. The challenges that started to give us signals about shrinking resources. And the challenges that continue to be in front of us when we think about overregulation. Now let's put this in perspective, folks. A lot of you in this room know that sometimes I can come at this from that point of view of an eternal optimist, as Bill Donald often tells me. But a lot of times, if I think about all the feedback and all the wisdom that folks in this room and across this industry have shared with me and other members of our staff, there's one common denominator that tends to come out in those discussions is that when we think about the adversity that this industry has faced over many, many decades, that's when innovation starts to really be spurred. That's when the resilience of the culture of this industry really allows us to step forward and lead forward. So I don't want to make any pokes at fun about what this picture represents. I certainly think there's some of you in the room that can reflect on this. And as I was talking to my friend Dave True about perhaps what this meant to me, he asked the question about, well, does this remind you back of your collegiate career with being a part of a bull riding scholarship to help put myself through school? And I said, well, yeah, it did just for a minute. But let me make sure I put this in perspective, Dave. It was a bull riding scholarship, but also an academic scholarship, just so that you don't get the wrong signal here. I remember leaving an arena in Lake Charles, Louisiana, after I had about an 89-point ride on a bull that looked just like this guy right here. I reflected on some comments that the stock contractor made to me right before I got on him. Keep in mind, I was 19 years old, had never been out of the state of Texas, because my dad believed in 24/7 and working your butt off. But I earned an opportunity to represent my university. And while I won the round, I walked out of the arena floor with blood all over my chin. And while I was bleeding all over myself, this man named Herbert Quick said, "Oh, you know what? You asked me about what's this bull like, and I told you before you got on him, well, he bucks, and he rides in that big truck over there. But I forgot to tell you that he was the bucking bull of the LRA in this particular circuit of the PRCA last year." And so as I made my way back to that discussion with Dave True, folks, that's not what it's about, and that's not what I think about when I think of this picture that one of our staff members by the name of Danae Holmes sent to me here just a few months ago. It made me think about the challenges that our industry has faced, and while we think about the adversity that we have faced as an industry, I can only imagine what was going through this little boy's mind when he thought about this big creature that was standing down upon him. So let's talk about what is on the opposite side of every challenge. It's an opportunity. And when we think about what's been shared with us here this week, let's start with domestic demand for U.S. beef. CattleFax shared with us the Wholesale Beef Demand Index. Some of you in other committee meetings had an opportunity to reflect on the data points about the Consumer Beef Demand Index. And no matter which metric you want to bring to the forefront, the bottom line is there is absolutely strong demand for beef in this country, despite rising prices. Equally as important is when we look at outside our borders, where 96% of the global population lives, the growth and the opportunities for growth as we move forward, especially as we implement new free trade agreements with key markets and key countries, and with expanded access that we just learned about here yet this week, because science finally prevailed through the Codex process, there is tremendous opportunities for growth when we look at the external markets. But when we look at what's happening right now inside this industry and what's happening on Capitol Hill, that's a part of the equation that our team at NCBA focuses on each and every day. And as you've heard Colin say before, burning boot leather on Capitol Hill is all about that pull-through and making sure that every one of you in this room has a business climate that allows you to have freedom to operate responsibly. So as we go forward to this picture here, I introduced to the board a year ago in Orlando, Florida. It was a means of really captivating the four areas of focus that our team has each and every day, all against the question of how do we get more people to enjoy beef more often. What I've done is every time I have an opportunity to be in front of you face to face, I'm giving you new data points, new results that we as staff think really, really matter. And speaking of our staff, given the challenges we've been through, the one ask that I've had of every one of them each and every day is to simply do this. Do everything you can with everything you have and learn from it. Well, what's been the outcome of some of those learnings? I would suggest to you, here's several examples of what results that we see that really matter. When you look at groundbreaking initiatives just here this week, you've heard the results of the National Beef Quality Audit, the most extensive review of this industry that we have ever seen. And the outcomes of that are really what's giving us direction on how we break further ground as we move forward, whether it be about product integrity, eating satisfaction, or the major area of focus about how we tell the beef story. When we look at cutting through consumer clutter, how many of you in this room had a smile on your face in the opening general session when you saw the outcomes of a massive effort over the past couple of years called Brand Enhancement 2 that really took what we've been doing to position beef in terms of the power of lean protein and the entire nutrition story and bringing that to life with our cornerstone of Beef It's What's for Dinner and, oh, by the way, linking families back to the number one differentiator of beef in the area of competitive proteins, and that is taste. And that, I hope you saw whenever you saw the new online commercials that were rolled out yesterday during the opening general session. When we look at fighting burdensome regulation, there's a long list here of wins and major outcomes here over the past 6 months. But a couple that I will highlight will start with every one of your children. And thinking about a proposed rule that was brought forward by the Department of Labor that would have challenged every farm and ranch family in this country, no matter whether they were involved in corn, soybeans, beef, pork, it doesn't matter, but especially when we think about the beef industry, it would have really put a challenge in front of our industry about youth being engaged at the heart and the fabric of this industry. When we look at what's happening with the EPA and pushing back on things like the proposed 308 rule, when we look at what's happened with the Farm Bill, all of this centers around how we look at bringing forward outcomes that give you freedom to operate responsibly. When we look at working together, I am very proud of what our industry has done to be engaged with the broader picture of agriculture and some significant advancements that we continue to make with this effort we call the U.S. Farmers and Ranchers Alliance. And as we move forward and we take the results that we just brought from the Food Dialogues event in Hollywood, in California, you can bet your bottom dollar that those will be leveraged in every way you can imagine to, number one, continue the Food Dialogues in New York City later this year, and number two, be able to bring, yes, a film, a documentary that tells a story about what you do each and every day, and not only in the beef industry, but across all of agriculture. And last, but certainly not least, that effort will be able to yield the faces of farming here in the very near future that will highlight several individuals that will become the rock stars of agriculture. And you bet, I would fully expect that they will be on the Today Show in the near future. But when we look at working together, there's an area that you have given us as staff as pretty darn clear expectations. And I want to share with you 3 points of results. And when we look at making data-oriented decisions, these are 3 results that I'm very proud of. In 2009, we started to establish a benchmark with our staff. We looked at morale. We looked at their commitment to our vision and what we're trying to accomplish. And we also talked about how we work with other organizations. Well, folks, we take that benchmark every late spring, early summer, and we just wrapped that up here in the last 30 days, and here's 3 data points that I brought from that discussion. The first question is around morale. And the question is, do you believe that morale at NCBA is high? We've tripled that score since 2009. The second question is, do you believe that NCBA's culture is continuing to evolve in a positive manner? Again, we have tripled that score since 2009. And one that's perhaps more relevant to every single one of you in this room is this one. A question that we inserted into 2010 about how our staff is optimistic about the future of our relationship with the Cattlemen's Beef Board. That, folks, has tripled in the past 12 months. When we think about change, a quote that really grabbed me when I heard it was from a man by the name of Bill Gates. And what he said was, your most unhappy customers are your greatest source of learning. So when we think about all the feedback that's brought forward, I'm going to come back to customers in just a second. But I'm also going to start with customers, and that's every one of you in this room, when we look at the changes that are required for us to evolve the decision-making process here in this organization. A lot of discussion here over the past several months of a restructuring of our committees that do what? Basically evolve this organization and our partnership organizations in a way that we can bring our committee structure into alignment with our long-range plan. A pretty simple concept in a very complex discussion. Change. Every 4 years, we get an opportunity in this country to decide on what changes need to be made as it relates to the folks that are leading our country from Washington, D.C. And I will be the first to put this right in front of every single one of you in this room. It doesn't matter what your political preference is. It doesn't matter which party that you support. It doesn't matter what state you're from. What really matters is that between now and November, you're engaged in the process like you've never been engaged before. And that the outcome in November is that whatever changes come about with respect to elections, that we have people that represent our industry in Washington, D.C., on both sides of the aisle, no matter what their political party and preference is, that not only have Cal sense, but they have common sense that they can take to represent your businesses. So as we think about the changes that are coming at us as a country, our ask is of everyone in this room that you be engaged like you've never been engaged before. But the last point about change starts to speak to some of the folks in this room. Very few of you, but some of you that are incredibly important. And that is the generation of millennials. So let's put the sideboards around who I'm talking about here. This young man sitting right here in front of me is one of them. We're talking about folks that were born between 1980 and the year 2000, who today are anywhere from 12 years of age to 32 years of age. And the point is this simple. When you look at all the feedback you've received here this week, I'll guarantee you some of you in this room have at some point talked about the millennial generation and what in the world they think about our product, beef. They think about our product in a very different way. And what we're finding in the data is that as you think about those that are in their 25 to 30 years of age that have started their own families, how they talk about beef as the source of protein in their family's diet is very different from the baby boomers. So as we think about change and moving forward, we have got to change our approach and how we look at making sure that the next 25 years of the growth of market share in this industry has everything to do with understanding those needs and adapting and changing our strategies to meet a very challenging target, but one that I feel with complete confidence will be absolutely the future of this industry. So as we come to the corner here this morning, and we leave here and we go back to our daily lives, I hope that each and every one of you have the courage to continue as an organization to make information-based, data-oriented decisions that all link back to a strategic plan and a beef industry long-range plan we've worked hard to develop. I hope that you have the courage to change. The courage to change the trend about resourcing of this organization and this industry that is in a very, very tight position, as you've heard from several gentlemen and ladies that have come before me here this morning. And the courage to engage. The courage to engage to make sure that we have more grassroots members here and being a part of this process than we've ever had before. Because that's where the rubber meets the road and the ideas really surface to the top to where we can make the best industry decisions for the future of this industry. When I think about courage, I think about a comment made by a guy by the name of Winston Churchill. And it's pretty fitting with what we've been through since we were together in Nashville. Winston Churchill said, "If you're going through hell, keep going." And while some of in the room may jump to a country and western song, I think he had a much different definition in mind. So as I leave you here this morning, I hope what I've given you is an opportunity to start to connect some of the dots. Connecting the dots between looking at balancing the challenges with the opportunities. To provide a sense of urgency for the required changes we need to make as an industry and as an organization. And hopefully inspired you to have the courage to act now. But here's the one ask that I have of you. As we lead forward, every single one of you in this room, I would ask you, that's going to mean something different to you than it does to the person sitting next to you. So the ask is to personalize it. And if you'll bear with me, I want to share a story with you about how I personalize it. 4 years ago, was one of the toughest months of my life. Because 2 years before that, my mother-in-law was diagnosed with phase 4 brain cancer. Many of you in this room know Mary Lee Johnson from Illinois, and it was the exact same scenario. Margaret, or mom number two as I called her, was 56 years of age, and 2 years later, after being told she would only make it for 48 days, right before she passed away was in July 4 years ago. And to link it back to this comment of leading forward, what she shared with me just a few minutes before she passed away was, "Forrest, I love you. I think of you as just as much of my son. You've done very well, and keep leading forward." Folks, that's how I personalize what this industry means to me and what I think we're at in terms of a crossroad. And as you leave here today, I ask each and every one of you to personalize how you're going to lead forward. Thank you very much.